Hello, and welcome to this week's special episode of Mood Swings. I'm sure you know what it's about if you've happened to come over here for a listen. So, I think about 2 weeks ago now, we obviously sadly lost Scott Hutchison of the band Frightened Rabbit, which for a lot of people, including myself, was a massive shock and a massive loss, and I don't know, I think for a while there and for a lot of moments and still moments that still come back to me, I'll talk about a bit more in a minute, but it just did feel like the whole world had crashed down, and I think it felt like that for a lot of people, and a lot of the people, including myself, are probably people that didn't really know Scott personally, but still it felt like a massive loss, and that is a massive testament to Scott and his music and the personality that he presented of himself through his music. So I felt like there was a lot of things that were, you know, there was loads with social media nowadays. Anytime anything happens that affects people, there's stuff floating around the internet, and there was so much for Scott. It was amazing to see, and it was also heartbreaking to see how many people were, you know, so upset by it. But anyway, this wasn't even meant to be my spiel there, but I've started already. But I just wanted to say, if you're a regular listener, this podcast is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to do an intro here where I speak about a couple of times where I met Scott and just tell a few of the Frightened Rabbit stories I have. And then I put up an open invite on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those places for people to send in audio recordings of their stories. And I've had, you know, some beautiful submissions. It's difficult to describe, honestly. Like, it's been such an honour to be the first person to listen to these recordings and hear these stories that people have, you know. It's not just about the time they got pissed and went and saw the band. There's some deep emotional connections there to do with friendship and people, you know, falling in love and meeting partners through Frightened Rabbit's music, and that's very powerful. And, you know, you get that with a lot with music. Music's a powerful thing, but, you know, most of these people that have submitted their recordings, I know personally, and, like, I don't think you get that with many bands at all, where you would know so many people personally that, have been so deeply affected by someone's music. And I mean, that leads me into one of the stories I have. It's about when they played the music hall in Aberdeen, and I remember, like, it just seemed like on the day there was a buzz about the city. I remember there was a big billboard on the road out of Aberdeen as well that had the what was the album? The Pedestrian Verse, sorry, I stalled a bit there. I remember they had a billboard with the Pedestrian Verse cover on it, and I remember I used to work in Portlethen, which is just outside Aberdeen. I remember every morning I used to get the bus out and I would go past that billboard, and I just remember a heartwarming sense of pride just seeing that, you know, Frightened Rabbit, there, who were always, you know, felt like my band, my mate's band, the band that all my pals loved, had this massive billboard and that they were going to be playing a big show in Aberdeen soon. I just remember on the day of the gig that, it just felt like everyone had tickets. I remember one of my best pals, Daryl, he didn't have tickets. I think he said he was skint when they came out or whatever his excuse was, but on the day he realised that he could not be at that gig. And I remember we were all at my flat, just off Union Street, having a few drinks, everyone that was going to the gig before, you know, just to get ready and listen to music and stuff, hanging out before the gig. And I was getting regular text updates from Daryl about how he was doing, marching up and down Union Street, him and another lad he made friends with, because they both had the same the same mission to get tickets for the gig, and they were both, like, marching up and down, stopping people, you know, almost like real life ticket touts, I guess, rather than trying to punt tickets or trying to ask people for tickets they could sell on. They were actually just desperately trying to get tickets for themselves, and I'm happy to say they both managed to get tickets for the gig in the end. I just remember that night as well, the gig itself, it just was really special. It just was weird, not weird, but I don't know, it's just a very special feeling knowing there's so many people, you know. There was a group of friends I was with, but I knew that I had friends all in the building that, you know, it was crazy. And then they were meant to do a DJ set at Snafu afterwards, and they actually couldn't make it, but you know, everyone was there. The whole night was centered around the band and their music. And I've had loads of nights like that. That's the one that sticks out, but there's been other nights, you know. But I just want to, I think the story I wanted to tell most was the time I remember spending the most time with Scott personally was, you know, they played an in-store around the same time as this music hall show, I think it would have been. And they played an in-store at HMV, and they'd announced on Twitter, I think the night before, saying they were playing a secret gig somewhere in Dundee, and you had to submit an email to an address, and you'd get put with the chance to win tickets. And I think I fucked up the email, like I didn't put the right, it was the thing that they asked you to put was meant to be the subject, and I couldn't put it the subject, so they would have been recognised that I was looking for tickets for this gig or whatever. Whatever happened, I fucked it anyway. So they played the in-store. I met them, signed all my stuff, you know, it was great. Probably said two words because I was so nervous. And then I went home, and I remember it was the day of the Super Bowl, and at that time we used to have people around every year for the Super Bowl. So I was just getting ready to make my tea and then, you know, half foot round, and then I like realised I needed something from the shop, so I ended up back up on Union Street. I walked across to go up to the co-op. This has become such a mundane story, I'm afraid. But and then as I walked past HMV, I looked in the window, and the guys from Fighting Drive were all still there, you know, all holding their guitar cases, obviously just getting ready to leave. And it was honestly surreal. I remember it felt like my legs just started, almost like a tractor beam. I just felt like I was pulled in. I just wanted to go and say, you know, without all the other people there around, I just wanted to go in and say, like, I fucking love you guys, like, so much. And I just wanted to go say that to them away from, like, the formality, I suppose, of the meet and greet. And but it didn't quite go to plan. I started walking in, and my eyes must have been, like, intently fixed on Scott, because he immediately noticed that someone was fucking staring at him like a massive creep. And his eyes locked onto mine, and we started exchanging, like, weird, you know, head motions, like knowing, like, he knew, obviously at this point realised I was a fan and was come up to speak to him and was probably very nervous, and he was sort of trying to put me at ease, I think, without saying anything. And then I finally got there, and I think I just muttered under my breath, like, nice show, man. And he was like, oh, thanks very much. And, you know, and I was like, I really like the band. He's like, oh, great. And I was like, oh, I was hoping to come to the show in Dundee tonight, but I've not got tickets, or I didn't make the list. He's like, oh, do you want to come? He's, you know, I can put you on the list. And I was like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, of course. So he put me on the list, and he put me on, he gave me a plus one. I phoned my friend Jamie, who I'd said to the day before that if I'd managed to get on this list, would he drive and could we go? And he was still very much up for it. When I phoned him, and their Frightened Rabbit's manager or their tour manager was telling me, you know, I was like, you're going to have to leave, like, right now, because we're already running late, and we're going to have to get there and sit up and just go on immediately. So you're going to have to go if you want to see us, if you want to see the band. And I was like, yeah, no worries. So we got in the car. Jamie came and picked me up. We got in the car. We raced halfway down the road. And I was like, yeah, we got halfway there. And it was almost like a movie or something. We were like, oh, can we run a secret gig, a secret Frightened Rabbit gig? And I turned to Jamie and said, yeah, it's a secret gig. And he's like, yeah, it's going to be amazing. And I was like, Jamie, it's so secret that we don't actually fucking know where it is. And it was a strange moment. So then I had to tweet Frightened Rabbit and say, I'm the guy from HMV that you gave the tickets to, or the guest list place to. It was a secret show, no one paid for tickets, but you know what I mean. He gave entry to. Could you tweet me send me a message on Twitter, tell me where it's going to be, because we don't actually know, we're on our way. So they replied. It turned out it was in a hairdresser's where our pal from college actually worked, which is quite funny. But yeah, we got there, and massive queue outside, you know. I remember feeling really, like, a weird, like, sort of buzz, because the guy on the door said he didn't have us on the list, and he's like, oh, no, you're the guys that Grant texted me about. And Grant's obviously Scott's brother and a massive part of Frightened Rabbit as well, of course. And it was just a buzz to know that they'd had to, like, they'd, so silly, isn't it? But they'd like, catered for us in that way. But it was a total buzz. And then we got in and started, you know, it was all free beers and stuff. We started having a beer. And I was like, oh, I need to go to the toilet. And I went, asked one of the guys that was running it where the toilet was, and he pointed me down a set of stairs. And I walked down the steps, and there's Scott and the band. It was just an acoustic set, so there was only three of them, I think. there they were, and Scott, you know, the first words out of his mouth when he saw me was, "Ah, you made it." And I was just like, you know, back to that mode of what I was like in HMV, just like, fuck yeah, man, thanks so much. And, you know, chatted to him a little bit, and he was, you know, very charismatic and great. And, you know, then I went for a piss. I came back out, and as I was going up the stage, he was like, "Wash your head there, you know, don't bang your head." And then they went on stage and they played, and then they gave us a little shout out during the set and stuff. And it was brilliant. I mean, like, at that point, I mean, Frightened Rabbit, I think, will always be one of my favourite bands. But at that point, that was when I was, you know, really just discovering them. I was a little bit late to the party, to be honest. And yeah, like, at that point in my life, that was fucking massive for me, that not only had I met them and stuff. And then, like I say, I went back the next day, I was getting my bus out to work, and that billboard was up there, and it fucking went 100 times more to me after that as well. Again, I just remember being so proud of them, and that they were Scottish, and that after meeting them and knowing how down to earth they were, and just knowing they were touring America and playing all these big shows and stuff, it was just like, fucking right. I suppose like my whole life I wanted to be a musician, you know, to see there was someone else maybe that I felt like a likeness to out there doing it, it almost was like living vicariously in a way, I suppose. Anyway, enough of that. The other story was the last time I spoke to Scott was another time where quite recently it was at the Electric Fields Festival. Last year, Frightened Rabbit were headlining. I've got to admit, I actually saw half of Frightened Rabbit's set at the festival because Kate Tempest was on another stage, and I knew I would never get the chance really to see Kate Tempest again after that, because she, like, we don't really talk about Kate Tempest, but I knew she was playing her whole record, and I wouldn't see that again. So I saw half of Frightened Rabbit, but then on one of the afternoons, he was playing with Michael Peterson, and they were doing sort of poem song about, so I went to see that acoustic set and loved it. And then I came out of the tent where that was on, the Noiriki tent, and I went for a piss, and on my way back, I saw Scott just standing outside the tent on his phone or something. And I just went up and just said, you know, "Great gig, man." What I intended to do was go up and say, "I run this fucking podcast. I've had on, you know, some people you might know, so that you can ask them and check. I'm not. Maybe you probably would have even asked me by the time I met with Dundee and said, you know, I don't know if you remember all those years ago. You let a young lad come to your gig, and we drove all the way down from Aberdeen. You know, that was me, sort of thing. But anyway, I shat it again. You know, 5 years on or whatever, still not able to quite." Compose myself in front of him because I was such a fan, and I just said the same thing. I was just like, "It was great, man, really enjoyed it." And he said, "You know, cheers." And then I went in the tent, and my girlfriend and all that were there, and I was like, "Oh, I just saw Scott Hutchison outside. Do you think I should go ask him to do the podcast?" And they were like, "Yeah, you know, you got nothing to lose." And of course, I went back at the tent, and Scott was gone, obviously, to see a band or get a drink or whatever. And you know, I just thought, fuck, at the time, I thought, fuck, you shat it again. Yeah, I hope those stories were alright. I just, I don't want to bore you too much, but it's just, everyone has these stories that seems to be a Frightened Rabbit fan. That's a rare thing, you know. It's different to listen to, you know, just listen to a band when you have such a connection with them. And that was one of the things that really made it so difficult for me, was that when Scott passed, that, you know, I knew that it wasn't just me that was feeling the way I was, that it was, you know, thousands or millions, you know, people all over the world, and certainly so many of my friends feeling really, like, so hurt by it, so, and felt such a loss. You know, it's one of those things. But what comes next, obviously this isn't what we normally do on the podcast, but this will be the last you hear from me. I'm not going to do an outro for this one. I'm going to play our normal little jingle. It was composed by my pal Tam. And then once that comes out, you're just going to hear one by one the submissions I've had from people for this podcast. Thanks to everyone that did submit something. I'm sorry if I had to listen to all this ramble before you get to hear your wee bit. Yeah, it's been really an honour to have these said and been able to listen to them. And I hope if you're a Frightened Rabbit fan or a friend of Scott's or a family member, whoever you are listening to this, I hope that these help you remember such a brilliant man and the good times at the they're finding that provider for us all, and that, you know, you makes you feel less alone for having such a hard time processing what happened a couple of weeks ago. Okay. I just want to say, if you enjoy this podcast, we have other episodes that you might like. Go have a look. I'm not going to plug myself too much, but yeah. Please enjoy this, and thanks to all the contributors. Cheers.
Hi, my name's Jo Gilbert, and I'm a performance poet and writer from Aberdeen. And I just wanted to share my thoughts and feelings around the death of Scott Hutchison. I find writing really therapeutic, and a lot of the time it's easier for me to write out my feelings than talk about them. I'm far more comfortable doing that. And so I wanted to share a little bit of my writing around this tragic event. But it might not be him. My brother replied, aye, but they found a body. Doesn't look good, eh? Deja vu punched me in the face. Even when it was confirmed in the news, I didn't want to believe it. It was just like before. It's not him. It's not. Please, no. Grief pressed its weight on me all day, trying to escape from my eyes, and I swallowed lumps of it back down my throat. My game face at work was slipping. Don't tell them the truth. They'll think you're stupid. I stamped down the feelings and got on with my work. I didn't know Scott Hutchison personally, but I felt like I did. I mean, I was only another face in the crowd at gigs, connected through the music. But songs weave themselves into the chapters of your life and become part of your story. And Scott's was the voice always telling me, it's okay, go home and cry. Find your friends, hug them, try another day. Frightened Rabbit helped me to fall in love. I'd been friends with JP for a long time, but I could never be quite brave enough to make the leap into a relationship. He was so patient with me, knowing my past, knowing I was broken, and helped me to gently break down my barriers. We got together after a Frightened Rabbit gig in Glasgow. The Modern Leper sums it all up more beautifully than I ever could. JP died 6 years ago. I couldn't listen to our band anymore. It was too raw, too real, too painful. And then Scott Hutchison died, and the wounds split open. I came home from work and sobbed. Those albums hold so many memories for me. I cried for Scott, for his family and friends, for JP, and for myself. The pain of loss has a far reach. But I also remembered the first glimmers of love. I felt deep gratitude to have been a main part in JP's life at a time when he was happy and at peace with himself. Scott's music was about pain, but the messages of love and hope run strong. And I'm still here, chipping away at life, even though sometimes I find it difficult to get through a whole day. And music helps me do that. Sometimes life's unfair and it doesn't make any sense. And sometimes there are people that shine so bright that they can only stay with us for a short while. But the light they leave behind is a gift. We will always have the music and we'll always have the memories. Frightened Rabbit helped me fall in love. Then they broke me. And now they're helping me to heal. Sleep well, big man, and look after JP for me, but just until I get there.
So I first heard Frightened Rabbit, I remember very vividly, it was one evening in probably about 2008. I was up in the middle of the night, stressed out of a nut about exams, and I just stuck on Radio 1 in the headphones, and I heard this song, and I was like, oh my god, what is this? You know, just crashing chords to start with, and just such passion in the lyrics, and you know, I was like, what the hell is this? And then I heard at the end, I remember it was a Colin Murray radio show, and he said it was a band called Frightened Rabbit, and the song was Fast Blood, and then that just started the obsession. You know, back in the day, I think I searched far and wide for on LimeWire for the Midnight Organ Fight album, and eventually I think I've bought it several times over in vinyl and CD and download and that, you know. So that's when the obsession started, and then you know, it was just something that resonated with me, just that kind of emotiveness of the album just got me through a lot of the initial exam stress at that time. You know, it would have been about fifth year at school, so I was sitting my hires, a lot of pressure on me then to go to university, and you know, that album certainly got me through that stage of my life. And first opportunity I had to went and see them live, I think it was at Mishulu in Aberdeen on the Midnight Organ Fight tour, and they just blew me away, just how, as a band, how great they were, and how, you know, everyone in the room just absolutely adored them. And you know, they were doing played the majority of Midnight Organ Fight, if not it's in its entirety, and you know, the crowd were trying their best at the harmonies. I remember at one point, I saw them live around that time. Scott came out from the stage and stood in the barrier, just him and his guitar unplugged, and he started playing Poke, and the crowd started trying to harmonise the oohs, but it was just terrible, and he just burst into laughter, slagging us all off for how terrible we were. But yeah, it was just the kind of sense of humour he had. And yeah, I saw them several times in that era. I remember seeing them a few times solo at Snafu, some of the Dirty Hearts club nights, and they were fantastic. He just has a presence on the stage, and just, you know, like such a great banter with the crowd. And yeah, just even the song Stripped Back, just him and a guitar were just sensational. Just it shows the power of his songwriting, even though take away the drums, bass, additional guitars, piano, and the songs are still fantastic. I've seen them, I don't even know how much times I've seen Frightened Rabbit or Scott. I possibly could not count, I think, every opportunity, anytime they played in Scotland, I have tried to be there. In recent times, I saw them three times in the space of a week on the Painting of a Panic Attack tour. There was the Brewdog AGM show the year before, just well in the year as the album came out, and he missed it, unfortunately, but that was a fantastic gig. We were all just absolutely buggered, and yeah, I just remember him coming out and the opened with Get Out, and everyone just lost it. It was carnage, circle pits, you know, crowd surfing, you know, it was just absolute chaos. Just everyone there, just, you know, it brought them together, and just they just loved it. And so yeah, my mate missed that gig, so he's like, right, next time they tour, we're gonna go see them. So we thought, right, grand. So they announced the English tour for Painting My Panic Attack that November, December. So we had a look at all the dates, and there was a Leeds on a Friday night, so we thought, yes, we'll go to Leeds, it'll be fantastic. So us two lads stumbled down to Leeds for the first time, and went to the gig, and it was in the uni in Leeds, and it was quite a surreal experience. I felt like we're walking onto the set of Fresh Meat, you know, just totally different from my uni experiences, you know. But we saw them and they were fantastic that night, and hearing that songs live again were great. But it was bizarre as the band were sort of chanting Scotland, Scotland, before, you know, as Scott was tuning the guitar. It was just the most surrealist thing ever. And then we saw them in Inverness later that week. I think it was the Wednesday following it. And yeah, again, that was my favourite Friday Night gigs. They were absolutely sensational. The crowd were fantastic. They were singing back. I remember Scott ripping into some guy because he started off playing My Backwards Walk acoustically, and he just burst out laughing, and this guy, he's like, "I'm gonna spew," and then just Scott just absolutely tore into one and told him pretty much to fuck off, you cunt. But that was a good night. That was the night, I think, that, you know, my current partner and I, we were maybe third date or something, and I think on my first date I realised how much she loved Frightened Rabbit, and I said, "Look, I'm going to see them in Inverness, let's go. Do you want to come?" And she's like, "Yeah, no bother." So without mental booking something, you know, weeks in advance on a first date, but, you know, that I was kind of convinced then. You know, we just hit it off over a mutual love of Scott and Frightened Rabbit, and we went to the gig, and I remember we played the old fashioned, and we both just, the whole crowd were just going mental, but we had a wee jig to ourselves at the back, and that's when I looked at her and thought, fuck, she is perfect. Like, you know, this is always what I've wanted in a female. You know, it was just one of those moments that, you know, that song will always just remind me of that exact moment. And yeah, later on that week, I think it was two nights later, we went to see them in Glasgow, and that was the Saturday night at the Barrowlands. And that was just absolute carnage. You know, I think from the word go, I was topless in a circle pit with five of these other dudes that I had never met in my entire life, and we all just shared a love of Frightened Rabbit. One of the last times I saw them was at Electric Fields when they headlined on it was a Friday night possibly, yeah, to the Rascals on a Saturday. But that's when I went down with my partner Nicole, my sister Fiona, and yourself, Nathan, and yeah, we had a fantastic time, but we just all bonded over a love of Frightened Rabbit. And, you know, that's not the only, you know, time. Like, you know, several of my closest and dearest and longest friends has came from a mutual love of Frightened Rabbit. And, you know, when we heard of Scott's passing, all my friends came, and I put up a big thing on Facebook about how, you know, this guy has probably made me the guy I am today. He's got me through some hard times. He's got me through some good times. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm down in the dumps or sky high, I listen to Midnight Organ Fight, or I listen to Paint Him a Panic Attack, or any of the other albums. And yeah, I remember one of my mates messaged me on the day that we discovered it was Scott. And, you know, he just said, you know, I've had so many good times sitting around that band, and he always looks forward to see me, but some of those nights were genuinely special, and he's happy he got to experience them the way we did, surrounded by the people that matter to us. And, you know, looking back, there's several of those gigs, especially one at the Music Hall in Aberdeen on the Pedestrian Verse tour. I was looking around, and it just felt like I'd organised a massive piss-up, and Frightened Rabbit just happened to be the band that were playing. You know, it was all of my nearest friends, extended friends, friends from university, family, you know, they were all there, and just brought together by a love for the band. And yeah, just for days after, you know, my mates were all totally devastated about Scott. But, you know, he puts it right, saying, you know, don't get too upset about, you know, how we're not going to see them again, but be happy that their impact on our lives and, you know, how much they mean to us and how much the band and Scott has brought us together. But I think it's a great, you know, time to speak about mental health, especially in men. You know, I work in healthcare and I see the majority of women who come in for antidepressants are women. Very, very few men, but I think men just need to talk about, you know, it's not a weakness to be depressed, to be anxious. You know, you need to talk about it. Speak to a mate, a family member, your pharmacist, you know, even go to your GP. You know, help is out there, and it doesn't always necessarily mean, you know, you need to take shitloads of antidepressants. You know, it might just mean that you need to talk to someone, have an outlet for your feelings. Because everyone has feelings, everyone gets down. Like I said, modern adult life is shit. We live in a Tory Britain, you know, times of austerity, and, you know, we need to kind of be good to each other, as Scott said, you know, be good to the ones you love, and just talk about it. You know, any time I've felt down or anything, I've spoke to people, and, you know, it's helped me massively, and yeah. I think what Mood Swings are doing with kind of taking the stigma away from mental health and having an open discussion about it is a way that we all should be. You know, it shouldn't be a faux pas that or seen as a weakness. It should be seen as this is something that happens to everyone, and they should certainly, you know, discuss it with everyone else. But yeah.
My name is Mike Powell. I'm 38 years old and live in the center of Canada in the province of Manitoba. These are the words I wrote on May 11th. Well, the clock just stopped. This day is a dark one, not unlike that moment in April 1994 when it was announced that Kurt Cobain had ended his life. But whereas I had just started listening to Nirvana back then, Frightened Rabbit's music has been a constant and consistent companion since 2011, when I first saw them 7 years ago, as they were opening for Death Cab for Cutie at the Molson Amphitheatre in Toronto. And though I cannot imagine the visceral hurt that Scott Hutchison's family, bandmates, and friends must be feeling, the news of his loss grieves me. There is no acceptance here, only a pendulum of emotion that swings back and forth between shock and anger. I never knew Scott. However, it's almost like I've lost someone close, because the music one writes is a window into one's soul, and his songs always resonated with me profoundly. This will be a day I won't soon forget. Peace and love, Scott. I wish it hadn't ended this way. You are deeply missed.
I am Molly McLachlan. I have been a big fan of Frightened Rabbit since, well, for a decade now, so since I was 13 and was just getting into music that wasn't Busted and Avril Lavigne. It was like one of the first, Midnight Organ Fight was one of the first albums I really obsessed over, and actually recently, in the last couple of months, I'd been obsessing over it again because obviously it was a 10-year anniversary. I was living in Denmark when they did the tour, so I didn't get to see it. And then it was probably a good thing because I would have just been an emotional wreck the whole time. And I was planning to go to Belladrum to see it there, but obviously that's not going to happen now. So I was... Yeah, I was pretty gutted to say the least, possibly the understatement of the year. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to co-opt the Hutchison's family's grief. Obviously, I didn't know Scott personally, but I feel he was the kind of artist that you felt like you knew him because he was so open and honest and just kind and all the superlatives. So this poem I kind of started, it had already begun to form in my head as soon as I heard that Scott was missing, because when you're a suicidal person, you tend to have an exit plan. Most of the people I know that suffer from suicidal ideation, myself included, have exit plans. They know how they'll do it if they ever decide to do it. And anyone that knew Scott's music well knew that he was someone that suffered from these problems and that he did in fact have an exit plan, as has been noted by many people. One of his most famous songs from his most famous album explicitly discusses suicide and the way that he eventually took his own life. And his poem is kind of based on that song. It's called A Boat in the Port for Me. I knew before the bad news broke they'd find him floating in the Forth. He told us how he couldn't cope, but how he tried and how he hoped. And how he gave and gave and gave, saved some who thought they'd not be saved. Not riches, neither fame he craved, but love perhaps, and failing that, escape. But oh, he was love. Yet still he escaped, overwrought from torment and shame. He shared with us relatable pains, and then fully clothed, he floated away. If I meet him in another world, I will thank him for his candor. Maybe in the Firth he found the privacy he never asked for. With his words in our ears, we'll not float away. His legacy is an anchor.
So I think it must have been about 16 when I first heard Head Rolls Off, and that was my sort of introduction to Frightened Rabbit from a good friend of mine, and I was hooked, instantly hooked by what I'd heard, and obviously listened to the rest of Midnight Organ Fight, and it is hard to describe how phenomenal that album is. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to see Frightened Rabbit a number of times over the past sort of 10 years. Don't have an exact figure, but safely say it's somewhere in the region between 15 and 20 times. And there's been some really memorable moments amongst that. Can't remember the first time, but I remember when I saw them at the Barrowlands when they played there for the first time. Quite recently saw them play Paisley Abbey with the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, which was phenomenal. But I would say my favourite one, the one that stands out most, is when Scott played a solo set in what is now, well, I don't know what it is now, but it was Snafu at the time in Aberdeen. And thing was, he was a last minute replacement. It was meant to be We Were Promised Jetpacks that were playing, but for whatever reason, they couldn't play, so Scott came up last minute by himself, guitar, and didn't have a set list, so he just played requests. So we shouted out all night what we wanted to hear, and he played it, and it was one of the most memorable nights I think I had as a teen, early 20s person. And that was actually the only time I met him briefly. After the gig, I was pretty nervous, I'd say, to go and talk to him. And at the time he was speaking to someone else, so I didn't want to interrupt him. But my girlfriend of time decided just to head up, and I sort of stood back and watched. And she had my copy of The Greys with her, and she came back and scrawled across it, and Black Pen was Michael, you fucking chicken, Scott. And that sort of said it all, really. It sort of made me realise, what on earth am I so concerned about? I mean, yeah. So I went up and spoke to him briefly. And that was the only time, but I still remember it pretty well. Obviously, the news last week is devastating. Very hard to process. I'm still not sure I've quite processed it, but we'll get there. So what I found about Scott's and Frightened Rabbit's music was that, like many others, his music just meant so much to someone who suffered with mental health issues. Say music brings people together, and I don't think there's any truer example of that than Frightened Rabbit's and Scott's, really. It's brought people together with the same issues and made us feel not alone, that there was other people struggling with the same things, and gave me and others hope that things can and will get better, just with the way he exposed himself so much of his own issues through music. So that's why it was very difficult, because over the past 10 years have been when everything's changed for me mentally. And at first I thought, if the person that gives you hope ran out of hope for themselves, then what hope is there left? But I really quickly realised that was the wrong thing to think, because within minutes of the news breaking, I had several messages from people asking if I was okay, and they knew how much Scott and the band and the music means to me. So I think that in itself demonstrates just how important and communal his music was. I don't think I'm getting carried away by saying that we've lost a genius whose talents we will never see the like of again. I mean, there'll never be anyone who can write such beautiful yet heartbreaking lyrics as Scott Hutchison, and I hope he has found a piece that he couldn't find whilst he was alive.
First of all, Nathan, I'd like to really thank you for asking us to do this, because I think it's a really important thing to do, and it's part of the grieving process, and we are grieving, although we weren't personally related or affiliated with Scott. We listened to his music, and you know, it was part of our lives. We went to the gigs, we listened every day, every other day, whatever. Like, it was a huge part of our lives, and for me too. So thanks for this, because it's given me the opportunity to think about this. So I would start off by saying that Frightened Rabbit came into my life at the most difficult time in my life that I've ever had, and hopefully will ever have. I was diagnosed with depression in 2012. It was a really, really hard time, and the way I'd been dealing or not dealing with things was I was reactive, and I reacted, moved on, rather than reflecting. So, you know, reflecting now, I would say that Frightened Rabbit's lyrics made me reflect upon the way I was feeling and think about it. Why am I feeling like this? These songs mean a lot to me, and why is that? What about this song means a lot to me? And I think part of that, to be honest, made me realize there wasn't really something right, and I think that says a lot. But beyond that, once I was lucky enough to be treated and I had counselling and I recovered because I was able to recover. I went to their gigs. The first gig I went to was the music hall. I think that was February 2013. And it was incredible. It was really, really emotional because, again, it made me reflect upon the previous year and how difficult that was and what I'd been through emotionally and what I'd overcome and, you know, the challenges that were still to come. I mean, I still had a lot to work through, but, you know, I was over that first hurdle. I also saw them at the Beach Ballroom. That gig was also incredible. I remember at the end of the gig, everyone stamping their feet, singing the woes at the end and clapping their hands. And it was like unifying. And it just felt like you were really part of a strong family. Like the Frightened Rabbit fans just felt like a family. And I've not felt that with any other artist or band or any other musical group that I've ever followed. And then in March this year, I went to Manchester. I went to the Midnight Organ Fight anniversary tour with two of my best friends. The same thing again. I remember my friend Callie, she was on top of her boyfriend's shoulders, just desperately trying to make eye contact with Scott. And she came off his shoulders and was like, oh, I really wish I made eye contact, but he just wasn't looking at me. But, you know, he was in the zone and, you know, just having the best time and really feeling it. And I know it meant a lot to him then and to have all those fans. I went to Manchester because the gig sold out within seconds for any Scotland gig. So me and my friend Karen said, oh, well, there's some tickets left in Manchester. Do you want to just go there? I was like, well, yes, anything to see this band. I will do it for this tour. Absolutely. I'm going to continue to listen to all of their music, all of their albums forever, for as long as I live, because they mean so much to me and they have helped me through so much. And it's impassioned, it's empowering. If you are going through a difficult time, I feel like the lyrics, if you really listen, it will help you. And, you know, find somebody else that likes Frightened Rabbit, speak to them, because they're bound to feel what you feel and they might have a different outlook. They might be more confident, or they might be more able to speak about these things than you. But if you start speaking about their music and their lyrics, maybe you might find a friend and maybe you might find someone to speak to. And I think that's the most important thing, is finding common ground when you're in those situations. You need to find common ground with someone so you can speak about it, because the most isolating thing is just feeling like nobody understands. But if you understand their lyrics, you enjoy them, I feel like you'll have a friend. If you have a Frightened Rabbit fan, you have a friend.